We're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is energy weapons with my special guest, Dr. Judy Wood. And we have a caller on the line, Frank in Virginia. Are you there, Frank?
Hi, Dr. Wood. Well, right now, as you know, we're in an economic crisis, and we're having to give $700 billion to buy out worthless securities. And how could this free energy that was used to dustify the towers, how could that be used for good? What could it mean for people instead of having to pay all this money for worthless securities? What if they put $700 billion into free energy?
That would be a dream come true. But then, you control the energy, you control the people, and you have power over them. So it kind of defeats the motivation, doesn't it? If you empower the people, you would lose your power.
Yeah. How long do you think that we could have had this free energy?
100 years at least.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I've been studying Nikola Tesla for years, and he'd actually built a tower in Long Island that the banksters made sure, J.P. Morgan especially, that it didn't proceed forward. He had the capability 100 years ago to give us energy all over this country without electrical wires. This has been available for 100 years.
And that was his goal, is to give that gift to the world.
Exactly.
And something that few people realize, alternating current is what he gave to us as well.
You think there's some reason why don't we demand that we have this free energy? Why don't we go out and tell our congresspeople that we've got to have it?
They aren't our congresspeople.
No, they're all sellouts. I mean, they're all puppets in Washington. They all know exactly what the plan is, and if they're not willing to go along with the plan, then they're not allowed to stay there. And they're selling us out in every way, every day. And it does have to be the people that do something about it. And I always say I don't promote a revolution, but rather an evolution of consciousness. We have to wake up as many people as possible as to all of these things that are going on to make them understand. We have to do it. And how are we going to do that? I don't claim to have all the answers, but I know it's got to be the people. Forget the Congress.
Do both of you think that people know about this free energy, but they, for some reason, they're somehow stupefied, somehow mind-controlled, that they don't act on what they know?
Well, first of all, half the people in this country are on psychiatric drugs. We've got fluoride in the water, which is another way that they mind-control people. They're keeping everybody very busy. You know, there's so many people that have autistic children or sick parents. I mean, they're keeping us busy in every way possible. A lot of people know about Tesla, but I will say it's very interesting. When I was in college, I never heard his name except for Tesla units, which I don't even remember exactly what that measures. But I was not taught about Nikola Tesla in college or medical school. I learned about him on my own. But there's a lot of people that know. It's just everybody doesn't know what to do. But I will say I had no idea that they could use that technology to bring down the towers. This is another whole level, as I said.
Well, doesn't the fact that the towers are dustified, doesn't that prove that we have free energy?
Please comment, Dr. Wood.
Yes, it's a demonstration that it works. If there's any question about it, that removes all doubt. And we all saw, if you open your eyes and look, you can see the, I call them wheat checks, the outer columns. When they made the building, they made prefab units of 3 columns wide, 3 floors tall. You see those things flying through the air, and they never hit the ground.
Okay, we're going to a break. We'll be right back. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is energy weapons with my special guest, Dr. Judy Wood, and I suggest you go to her website, drjudywood.com. Please finish what you were saying before the break about the columns.
The columns.
One last question here.
Okay, well, please let her finish.
Okay.
You were talking about the freestanding columns.
The point that we know it worked, Building 7 is very extraordinary, that you have a 47-story building, like double the highest building that's ever been destroyed by regular controlled demolition, and it didn't even spill across the street. The post office, the U.S. Postal Building, is that big building just to the east of the world of WTC 7. There's three traffic lanes down, way down there on the road below. Imagine that building dropping down and not even crossing all three lanes of traffic. You could ride your bike down the sidewalk on the other side of the street. It didn't cross the street. How can that be? All the way around. Where did the material go? It did not slam to the ground. It didn't make a boom, a thud. The seismograph, it looks like you can't really pick out a signal stronger than the background noise of just, rumbling traffic. So there's something horrendous that happened. If you could get all of the molecules, instead of having them attract each other, have them repel each other. That's a weird form of energy. It's like the energy is being tapped out of the building material.
Exactly. So, okay, Frank, if you have another question, go ahead.
Yeah,
we have callers lining up.
So do people like John Hutchison, do they know how to give us this free energy? Can they make stuff that, like batteries and so on, that can help us?
Yes, he makes batteries that last like indefinitely of really simple, cheap, dirt cheap materials. I think that's what he calls them, dirt cheap batteries, from dirt cheap rocks.
Wow.
And has a lot of knowledge, I believe, in how to reproduce the work of Nikola Tesla. And I think it's an important thing for our civilization, and it's something we should cherish. Not hide.
And not use for destruction.
Something we
purposes.
Should use.
Yeah, we should use for good.
Exactly.
We know it's out there. It's been developed. And I understand from Nikola Tesla's work that he knew more than he let on, and he didn't let it on because he sensed it would probably be used for evil purposes. So he held back. But they have developed it, and it's there. So we may as well use it for good.
Exactly.
But the host was saying that J.P. Morgan or someone suppressed the Tesla work.
Right, and they tore down his tower out on Long Island.
So they're still suppressing it. That we have Morgan Stanley now.
Yeah, it's more of the same.
Well, just like Dr. Wood said, you see, they're using energy to control us. If there's free energy available to everyone, just imagine what that would do. The people that control the world are the ones that control all these oil-based dinosaur meat energy technologies. They don't want us to have free energy, and so they are suppressing it. That's one of their mechanisms of control.
Exactly.
I mean, they wouldn't be able to divide and conquer us.
Exactly.
And keep us busy and all stirred up into wars chasing our tails.
Exactly.
What's the purpose of war?
Well, what about global warming? We've got to have free energy.
Well, that's why we have to get this information out to people. Like I said, the only ones that are going to take care of business is the people.
Right.
Nobody's
going to do it for us.
Exactly.
Well,
please spread the word about
you. Thank you to both of you.
Okay, and spread
Thank
the word about
calling.
The broadcast. The archives will be up later today. A lot of people need to hear this information. Okay, we have Mo in Oregon. Are you there, Mo?
Very much. Thank you very much indeed for taking my call, and hello to both of ladies. I would like to ask Dr. Wood, have you ever seen the movie Zero yet?
I have seen parts of it, enough of it that I lost interest in it.
why did you? Because he was explaining very good that an aeroplane, if it's Pentagon, it's you know, is big, but there was only a small hole over there. I mean, he was very more deeper into the you know, movie 0911 investigation. I mean, right now it is on Google. But the thing is, I'm surprised that you say you don't like that movie.
It's going backwards. It's not looking at the evidence. The evidence at Ground Zero or in New York City is that the buildings were turned to dust. They did not slam to the ground. So they could not have been taken down by thermite bombs in the building, you know, a kinetic energy device, because you would still have that amount of mass that would need to be slammed down to the ground. The building mass did not slam down to the ground. That is the key. And that movie is covering up free energy, in my opinion.
Was the same technology used at the Pentagon as was used at the World Trade Center?
I believe so. It has all the same hallmark signs that I noticed, like especially the fuming.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Thank you very much for giving us the insight. I thought that movie Zero is so very well made that, but it seems you have otherwise information about the movie.
It's slick Hollywood. I think it's designed to get people to not think. It's just like a television. I think it's designed to get people to not think about what really did happen that day. And yeah, my presentation is not slick. Sorry, but I'm busy researching what actually happened. And I want people to look at the information themselves. Now look at the images and you'll see what happened.
Yes, I definitely agree with. I just want to say I definitely agree with you, Dr. Wood, that distract people away from the fact that this free energy technology was used to do it. I mean, that is the real smoking gun.
Yes.
For people to realize that.
Yes, exactly.
Don't you think so? It's a small new case was inside and brought both towers down?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that.
A small new case?
You're talking about a nuclear bomb?
Yes, yes.
That's something that goes boom, and there's no seismic impact.
But
can't have a boom. And we noticed, remember, that the paper was all over Manhattan, it didn't burn. It came snowing out the window, so whatever it was didn't seem to affect paper.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting. And, I don't have...
That also wouldn't explain how the cars a mile away were toasted.
Yeah, take a look at her website, Mo. You have to see those images.
So there's a page I've updated recently, the FAQ page, Frequently Asked Questions.
Mm-hmm.
You find that link at the top of about any page of my website. And the very bottom of that is a little short course on Nikola Tesla. And there's various images and questions and... there's a lot of information there.
So can you please give me your website again, please?
DrJudyWood.com. That's DrJudyWood.com.
Oh, okay. I will go ahead and right now to your website, and I appreciate both ladies taking my call. And thank you very much, Dr. Carly. You're number one.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Mo. Okay. We have George in Illinois. Are you there, George?
Hi, Dr.
Are you there,
Carly?
George?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Dr. Carly. Hi, Dr. Wood. I'm very interested in your research, and I was wondering, I had a few questions. Did you, first of all, get a chance to listen to Jim Hoffman's seminar? I think it's posted on Guns and Butter, and he talks about the thermodynamics formulas that I haven't seen his exact analysis, but what he says is that it can be proven through the formulas, thermodynamics, that the pyroclastic mass far exceeded the event that of the plane striking the building. So that's number one. That's a given, given his analysis. And then there's the next step, which is if it is, in fact, something more sophisticated than a controlled demolition, which I think it is, that can be proven through a series of formulas as well. Do you know of any research that's been done to really say, look, the amount of energy is this amount, the amount of energy expended on this event? In other words, if you look at an event, you can determine or at least look forward to what might happen to these objects in terms of what's expected. After the Madrid fire, which lasted for 19 hours, it burned a lot of the structure. It weakened it. It didn't really fail. The structural beams, columns didn't really fail, but they weakened them. And then after the fire died down and, there was not enough oxygen, then you can see the condition of that. That was a burn. And the result of that was the structure was still standing and it didn't collapse. So in an event like ours, 9/11, you can really take a look at what must have happened. What are some of the true possibilities, directed energy or other DARPA programs?
Okay, George, hold on. We're going to a break. We'll let Dr. Wood respond after the break. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is energy weapons with my special guest, Dr. Judy Wood. George, were you done with your comment?
Yes.
Okay. Would you like to respond, Dr. Wood?
Yes. As I've said before, let's not get distracted by equations. You can have a computer generating numbers forever, but what do they mean? If you're in New York City, just look out your window. Are the towers still there? So whatever energy was required, we achieved it. Next question, where'd the building go? Where'd the material go? By noon on that day, the quote rubble pile, they like to refer to it as the pile to make you think that there's a pile there, but you could take a shot at ground level through the complex from east to west, right at ground level through where the buildings had stood. In other words, the rescue workers had to walk horizontally or rappel down into empty caverns to look for survivors. And there weren't any. There weren't even remnants of any. Something disappeared this material.
Yeah, I'm not talking about really doing analysis in terms of numbers only. I'm really looking at kind of the big picture, which is really, like you said, bodies, the size of the breakdown of particles.
And they kept getting kind of smaller
visible.
And smaller.
Yeah, I mean, they're extremely clear that this is the kind of results that can only happen by certain activities or energies, whereas others, if like you said, a fire causes this, and it cannot possibly cause something else. So that's pretty broad.
Right. The building didn't go bang to the ground. Right. The seismograph shows that.
Right.
It dust doesn't make a thud when it hits. So something turned the building to dust without slamming to the ground. And there's not enough material there to speak of. Approximately,
But at some point as a scientist, you have to do the analysis in terms of objective data. For instance, I'll give you a case example. I have a friend that's a doctor who's doing studies on the White Phosphorus weapons and other unknown weapons that were directed at Lebanon civilians. Very strange stuff. Their bodies were, the liquid portion of their body was removed. Their skin was bloated. The chemical composition was altered. So they're doing a lot of testing on the results of that, and they've never seen anything like it.
Right.
In other words, you can't just do it by visible inspection. They want to do far more, and they are. So,
well, right. I'd say starting from the gross overall.
Yeah, what you're saying
you
is
know that it's not
step.
A kinetic energy weapon.
You're doing the first step, but what they're doing is far more advanced in terms of you have to, and you're doing that too, and your website shows that. In other words, they're actually confirming that it can only be other research.
Oh, right, programs. Right. The way you start out your question, it seemed that you wanting to know what numbers.
Yeah, I maybe.
And those numbers apply to a particular mechanism. if it's not that mechanism, those numbers are meaningless.
Exactly. It's
and so that's
like,
why do it? First, look, is the building there? No, the building's gone. The material of, you know, that should be left on the ground, assuming this kinetic energy, you know, activity is not there, so end of story. And then you start looking at other mechanisms. Here's an analogy for the listeners.
Okay.
It's not just the energy it takes to do X, Y, and Z. It's the type of energy. Imagine a drinking glass you set down on the countertop. And you want to move it from one point to another, so you drag it across. That takes a certain amount of energy. But if you put some water on the countertop and hydroplane it across, it takes a whole lot less energy. And you move that glass from point A to point B. It's just a different mechanism. So there's different mechanisms that were in play. And the mechanism that we saw the evidence of on 9/11 is a magnificent mechanism that could be used for good instead of evil. That's my biggest point.
A couple of things I want to, if I could just point to in terms of some research that I've done, is there's several good documents which were done about a year before 9/11, and I find it interesting. There was one project called Radiant Dawn, which is a DARPA program coordinated by NIH and US MRID. So they're doing a lot of research and development for directed energy programs about a year before 9/11. Another source that I find amazing is John Alexander, who's the director of mass mind control programs in the Pentagon, worked with Tom Clancy for a book in November 2000, called Future War, Non-Lethal Weapons in the 21st Century. Now, this wasn't specific exactly in terms of the detail of what you're talking about, but it really spelled out the principles and the concepts of these directed energy programs. I don't know if you've read out those books, but those are amazing. They tie in exactly with your research.
Yeah, I realize John Alexander visited John Hutchison in 1983 for 4 months, filming everything he was doing in his lab, documenting it. So he's very well aware of this technology that I was speaking of.
Now, does this connect very closely to the zero-point research, which is a anti-gravity technology for a directed energy program?
Yes, I think it's all related.
Yeah, I agree.
I hear the music. We're going to a break. This is a very interesting conversation. Let's continue on the other side. Stay tuned, folks. We're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is energy weapons with my special guest, Dr. Judy Wood. And Dr. Wood, one thing I was wondering is how were they able to so control these weapons? There's so many other buildings in the area that were not affected, or at least not as affected as one would think, although you did mention that one bank. How do you think they were able to control it to the degree that they did?
Well, I got to thinking about, you know, the field effects, like of a tornado or a hurricane, like thunderstorms. You have that potential between the cloud and the ground. Imagine the moment just before that that lightning bolt zaps across. Where is it going to connect to? How about if you can change where that energy connects to? Like you have some kind of a little trigger beam, like the catalyst that you point to, say, connect here or there or there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we saw was not a lightning bolt, but, you know, analogous to that, there might be some other type of energy just like that that can have that effect in a certain volume of space. Let's say you need to intersect three different kinds of energy. Well, if you have two sitting there, you just need to add that third part in just one particular place. So the other stuff can be in the general area. And as we saw, you know, those cars were affected as far over as FDR Drive.
Right.
And why the cars and not the buildings? I got to thinking the cars aren't grounded. They're up on tires. And there might be something to that.
Right.
But the interference of beams the different types of energy, I think, is a key. And that would be an easy way to direct it, is just direct the final catalyst.
Did you have any other comments, George?
Well, one of the things that you had mentioned, which I found interesting, was that you noticed that the locks were disengaged from trunks and other...
Yes.
And that, to me, is a magnetism issue.
Right. Oh, thank you for bringing that up. Yes, I looked at the magnetic field of the Earth that day, and precisely and abruptly, with each of the events, there was an abrupt shift in the Earth's magnetic field.
Wow.
Yes. Have you ever considered, I understand there's that Radiant Dawn program is based on pressure points. In other words, I'm not sure how they go about doing this, but the program is really creates a series of pressure points pre-strike. In other words, there is some kind of a mechanism which the pressure points are already active inside the building components or regions. And then they send a signal, and that creates a response to these pressure points so that they can talk about your question, Dr. Carley, where you said that the accuracy of directing it at particular buildings or even zones is very somewhat precise. Not completely precise, but they're still working on it. It's a kind of this is a test case, I think. So if you look at the very detailed video of Loose Change of the version 1, Dylan zooms in on floors and looks at all the squibs, the crimps in detail, and you can see that there's a series of waves and they cascade in sequence. So something like that is extremely precise, and it's a series of kind of a dialogue between what is pointing at the pressure points and the pressure points responding in turn. So it's sequential. That's what it appears to be, given just a visual analysis.
Okay. I think what it was is that 100% of the upper portion of the towers were dustified. It wasn't just particular pieces of material. And even, the tipping top of Tower 2, it tipped up and kind of hovered, leaned over Building 4. And then completely turned to dust, and it never slammed to the ground. And not only that, Building 4 below it disappeared. And that's one building that, it don't get no respect. The main body of Building 4 completely disappeared and was severed from the north wing. It remained standing just like it was surgically sliced off. That is weird.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, the sequences that you described, It really did break the molecules down, the microns down in fine points so that the top, 15 floors, it was completely disintegrated by the time it dropped down to the lower levels of the major base.
Yeah, it didn't hit anything.
Absolutely. That's visually kind of, you could observe that kind of change. And that's not even possible with thermite or thermate, not possible.
Or bombs or anything else. No kinetic energy device can do that. Yeah, thermite melts. It's a welding material. It doesn't, turn buildings into dust. But what was interesting is the building below that disappeared, where it just smoothed down the ground like, polished to the ground. And then the last, 15 or 20 stories of the wheat checks laid down on top of that empty lot. But the Building 4, except for one little stub in the corner, just the main body of Building 4 just totally disappeared. Pretty amazing.
Do you know, have you done a lot of research on Building 6, which I understand had a large explosion in its center core, and there was like a...
It lost the material. It didn't have an explosion. If you look from the aerial shot, those are cylindrical cutouts, like somebody took a big post hole digger. They're about 24 feet in diameter, those cylindrical cutouts. And there's testimony from one of the first responders who was in that hole, just at the edge of it, when it happened. And when the dust cleared, he looked up at the blue sky from the lobby floor. Pretty amazing.
Now, was that building, like you were saying, dustified equally? In other words, was it most of the materials, like the heavier cabinets, equipment, mechanical equipment, was that also dustified? Or was
There's a picture I have on my website from the inside of that big hole in the middle of six, which is about 50% of the building. You can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You know, it's an eight-story building, so you know you're at ground level, and there's nothing in between. A couple of wheat checks at the bottom. That's it.
Amazing. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for thinking about these things. Okay, one of the things I wanted to also get into on the show, Dr. Wood, is for you to talk about your lawsuit, your Qui Tam case. First of all, if you could explain what that means to the listeners and what's going on with that case.
Well, I can't talk about the case, but I can because it's ongoing, but I can talk about the process. And
okay.
What in layman's terms, American taxpayers fund NIST. NIST was designated to do this report to find out why and how the towers, quote, collapsed. They did not do that. They had hired various contractors to help them with the report, to do various analysis and so forth, and these contractors signed off on the report when they should have known better than what they signed off on. That, you know, first of all, they were mandated to find out why the buildings and how the buildings collapsed. And I brought an RFC to NIST, a request for corrections, noting in their report that they didn't determine how and why the towers collapsed. And they wrote back to me and acknowledged that they didn't analyze how the towers collapsed, only up until before they collapsed.
Wow.
So, you know, right there, they can't call their report, you know, analysis of the collapse. But, for example, you know, Underwriters Lab did tests on the fire, and they did a mock-up of, you know, full-scale model of the of floor spans and put lots of fire on it. They couldn't get it to fail to hold loads, so they called the test after several hours. They couldn't get fire to make a collapse. So what are they doing signing off in a report that says that fire caused the towers to collapse? And it goes on. And interesting that two of the biggest contractors are manufacturers of directed energy weapons. And I brought this to NIST's attention, but I thought that was a conflict of interest.
Oh, my God, I'll say.
Yeah, they've manufactured and developed directed energy weapons. Surely they know what the effects look like. Yet they, you know, signed off on this report. So they defrauded the American people. They consumed tax money, and we didn't get, you know, the correct answer from them. And so this, the QTAM suit allows us to, on the behalf of the American people, to, you know, blow the whistle and say, this is fraud.
Wow.
And that's what I'm doing.
And what's the status of the case right now?
It was first dismissed, and now it's under appeal. And if you would like to read up on those documents, I won't comment on them, but they're available on my website. At the top of the page, you'll see you know, legal case or Qui Tam case, and you can look at all of the documents. And the request for reconsideration, that one might be worth looking at after it was dismissed.
Yeah.
And you can, I'll leave it to you to make your own conclusion.
Talk about opening up a can of worms. I wonder what excuse they'll use to blow it off in the appeal stages.
Anything. I mean, is you know, it's we'll see. Let's hope we have you know, that somebody wasn't quite paying attention, didn't look at the documents, or and we'll get it a thorough look at. But I think it's important for everyone to see what is going on themselves, and to look at these documents themselves. Again, not leaving it up to others to think for you.
Definitely. Wow. Have you had any problems since you started doing this work? Any threats made against you, or what usually happens when you stand up for the truth?
Yeah, but I don't like to focus on those things.
Right.
Focus on what needs to be done, and I feel it's important enough that I've sacrificed my career for it, and we need to get the word out. It has to do with survival of the species.
Well, I totally agree with you, and you are a true hero for this country to be doing what you're doing, and all I can say is that, you know, I'm going to tell others that I know that have radio shows, they need to have you on. This information is so important because who knows what they're going to do next.
Right, and we need to empower the people.
Yes, and get them to stop living in fear. As a matter of fact, it was very interesting. I watch C-SPAN a lot while I'm doing work around my office, and they had Joe Biden on the National Press Club, and they actually showed a clip of him on September 10th of 2001 saying that one of our weak links was that they could fly a plane into buildings. This was the day before September 11th. And then one of the interviewers at the National Press Club had asked him, you know, since you said that on September 10th, which I thought was shocking that they brought that up as if, you know, what is he, psychic or something? I mean, obviously they all knew what was going to happen at the top levels. They asked him, where do you think our you know, weaknesses are now? And he actually mentioned the subway tunnels and such in New York City. So, you know, that sounded to me like, you know.
That's where you look next. They always tell you what they're going to do before they do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was January 15th. I think it was Rumsfeld. I don't remember for sure who it was, who was warning, well, we need to have more funding for in weaponizing space because there was going to be a new Pearl Harbor, a new space Pearl Harbor, and a Pearl Harbor event from outer space. So we needed to weaponize space to protect ourselves.
What do you think they meant by that?
I don't know, but it shows what was on their mind.
Wow. Do you think that this was done from space, or do you have any idea about that?
Pardon me?
Do you think that the towers were brought down? I'm trying to figure out, like, how they could have directed those weapons. Do you think it was done from space?
I don't know. I tend to think it probably wasn't, but it could have been it, and that's not so important.
Right.
As, you know, we know they have stuff in space. We know they can do things in space. Let's say they can do it on the ground, and they just, you know, aim it up to space, ricochet it off some, you know, mirror that's in orbit, and send it down elsewhere.
Right.
There's a variety of things they can do, but the scary thing about weaponizing space is, where does it stop?
Exactly.
Where does it end? Does it come down to who can blow up the planet? So who can annihilate whom faster? And why are we busy trying to do weapons? What's the purpose in wars?
Well,
I don't think anybody likes wars, do they?
Well, the people in charge obviously use them to reduce the population, make lots of money, and control people.
Yeah. Isn't there another way?
Obviously there is, but...
Well, you know, why do we need to control people? Why? I think that, for the most part, people are good. Think of small-town America. You know, a kid wouldn't go, you know, steal a piece of bubble gum because somebody would see him and he'd be shamed because everybody knows who he is.
Right.
And so, you know, when people are left to be accountable within their own means instead of, well, we'll leave that to the police to prosecute so we won't call him on it. That doesn't work. Everyone takes responsibility for what's around them. I think everything's fine.
I totally agree with you. And these people definitely need to be held accountable for what they've done. Of course, the problem is the massive corruption that exists. As you said, the very people hired to figure out what happened, obviously, were told not to figure out what happened. And this is the problem that we run into at all levels.
Imagine if you worked for that organization and you wanted to speak out.
Yes.
What you'd have to go against. But I think it's it would be very noble to speak out and to step up. And we need to start doing that, or else we don't have a planet left.
I totally agree with you, and I know what that's like because I've stood up against the medical mafia, and I'm hoping that we'll have more and more people that will realize the looming destruction that we're going to have to contend with if they don't step out and speak up and talk about what's going on. Okay, we're going to a break. We'll get back in a moment, and we have another caller on the line. Stay tuned, Malcolm. We'll get to you after the break. Be right back. And we're back with What's Failing America, where our answer today is energy weapons. This is our last segment. Dr. Wood, I want to thank you so much for everything you're doing. You, as I said, are a true American hero. And we're almost out of time, Malcolm. Go ahead and ask your question.
Yes, thank you for having me on. I just wanted to add on, maybe you all have seen this documentary, Richard A. Siegel. He was filming the World Trade. He's in New York, and he was filming the World Trade Center's burning, and he filmed something that was interesting. There was a black helicopter that was flying above one of the trade centers, and there was bright flashes of light coming from the helicopters right on top of the trade center. And as soon as that helicopter passed by that building, that first tower began to come down. Have you all seen this film?
No, I haven't.
I've seen that, and it's an interesting anomaly. There's a lot of different images that I've looked at in evaluating things, and I don't bank everything on one particular image, but a sense of, you know, what happened comes from everything that's consistent with one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I don't really actually understand what happened, but it's there. You know what I mean? I saw it. It's there,
right.
You know.
The one thing I'd like to know is why were the helicopters there when everyone was supposed to be grounded?
Yeah.
They grounded all aircraft, including military aircraft, except for, quote, a few top secret missions.
Right. And, you know, one interesting thing I seen on the video, that there was one helicopter that was showing on the roof of the building. You never saw that shot again. But this helicopter, I'm guessing that it was a media helicopter, and it was showing sights on top of the roof of the trade center as it was burning. And they never showed it again.
Hmm.
Yep.
But it's interesting, they allowed military aircraft to resume taking off 120 seconds, so it's 2 minutes, after the North Tower went poof.
Hmm.
So they grounded them until, you know, after both towers had gone poof, and then they could take off again.
Right.
I found that interesting.
Right, yes. Well, thank you for letting me on.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay, well, y'all have a good day.
Will do.
All right.
Okay, Dr. Wood, please give any final comments you would like to give to people. Is there anything that people can do to help support you?
Yes, do something. think, be active, communicate with others, hand out material freely. There's a lot of DVDs that we have. Andrew Johnson has made a bunch of them in England, but it's hard for distributing in the United States. So if somebody would like to do that, that would be wonderful help to, you know, the people who could click on something and order them.
Mm-hmm.
And charge, you know, the cost of mailing and whatever, and just to be able to spread these out, to empower the people, give them information. Information is the most powerful tool there is.
Does this person have a website?
You contact me or through his website at the top. Also, on my home page, I have a little DVD disc, little icon you can click on. And that page I would like to have active with a way people could order what materials they would like.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it refers to Andrew's site, which is a wonderful site to go see as well.
Okay, well, thank you again for everything that you're doing. Keep up the good work. And I'm going to do everything I can to get you on other shows as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Gold has been.